is entitled The Material World as the Great Forest of Enjoyment. What type of figure of speech is that? Does anyone remember yesterday? It's a type of metaphor, but what type of metaphor is it? It's a simile. Because it has a metaphor. It is a metaphor, but it's a type of metaphor that's called a simile because the simile has like or as. Right? Material world as, it's a connecting word, great forest of enjoyment. Like if you were to say the material world is like in a forest, actually like, that's also a simile, but it is a forest of enjoyment. That's a metaphor without a simile. Anyway, so little English class here. So, this is a very interesting chapter. It's teaching us about where we live. The direct meaning of the forest of material existence is given in this chapter. Merchants sometimes enter the forest to collect many rare things and sell them at a good profit of the city. But the forest path is always bedecked with dangers. When the pure soul wants to give up the Lord's service to enjoy the material world, Krishna certainly gives him a chance to enter the material world. As stated in the Prema Vivarta, that's by Jagannanda Pandit, Krishna Bahir Mukha Hanya Bhoga Panchakare. This is the reason the pure spirit soul falls down to the material world. It's interesting. Because that also answers the question, where do we come from? Krishna Bahir Mukha basically means, Mukha means space, Bahir means outside or away. So what this verse is, that living entity turns his face away from Krishna and wants to enjoy separate from Krishna. So in other words, his face was actually facing Krishna, and he turned it away from Krishna. It's interesting. That's Jagadananda Pandit, who is Lord Chaitanya's pure associate. This is the reason the pure soul falls down to the material world. Due to his activities under the influence of the three modes of material nature, the living entity takes different positions in different species. Sometimes he is a demigod in the heavenly planets, and sometimes a most insignificant creature in the lower planetary systems. In this regard, Srila Narottama Das Thakur says, Nana Yoni Sada Pire. The living entity passes through various species. Karadaraya Bhakshanakare. He is obliged to eat and enjoy abominable things. Atara Janma Ara Patayai. In this way, his whole life is spoiled. Without the protection of the all-merciful Vaishnava, the conditioned soul cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Manakshashtani Indriyani Prakriti Shtani Karshati. The living entity begins material life with his mind and the five knowledge-acquiring senses, and with these, he struggles for existence within the material world. These senses are compared to rogues and thieves within the forest. They take away a man's knowledge and place him in a network of nations. Thus, the senses are like rogues and thieves that plunder his spiritual knowledge. Over and above this, there are family members, wife and children, who are exactly like ferocious animals in the forest. The business of such ferocious animals is to eat a man's flesh. The living entity allows himself to be attacked by jackals and foxes, wife and children, and thus his real spiritual life is finished. And just to clarify that, like I was doing yesterday, this is in reference to materialistic relationships. And even whether it's friendship, it's not just an attack on wives and children and things like that. It's whether it's a friendship relationship or a servitude relationship or any of the relationships we have in this material world. Like Prabhupada said, it's the cheaters and the cheated. You're either being cheated in the relationship or you are cheating others in the relationship. Or maybe simultaneously both things are going on. So people shouldn't take this out of context and tell their wife or husband that you're like jackals and children, that you're like jackals and foxes. But if we allow ourselves to get cheated, then we're actually facilitating people acting like jackals and foxes. In the forest of material life, everyone is envious like mosquitoes. And rats and mice are always creating disturbances, especially in the White House. Everyone in the material world is placed in many awkward positions and surrounded by envious people and disturbing animals. The result is that the living entity in the material world is always plundered and bitten by many living entities. Just like yesterday, I went for a walk and then there were these little bloodsuckers on me. I had to pick them up off. Nonetheless, despite these disturbances, he does not want to give up his family life. And he continues his fruitive activities in an attempt to become happy in the future. He thus becomes more and more entangled in the results of karma. And thus he is forced to act impiously. His witnesses are the sun during the day and the moon during the night. The demigods also witness, but the conditioned soul thinks that his attempts at sense gratification are not being witnessed by anyone. Sometimes when he is detected, he temporarily renounces everything. But due to his great attachment for the body, his renunciation is given up before he can attain perfection. In this material world, there are many envious people. There is the tax-exacting government, which is compared to an owl. And there are invisible crickets that create unbearable sounds. And try to understand, this is all in reference to non-devotional governments and non-devotional situations. Because in the Vedic system, there would also be a tax-exacting government. The government would take a certain percentage of one's produce, for example. And that particular government would not, like Lord Ramchandra's government or Yudhisthira Maharaj's government, would not be compared to owls. Because why is an owl used? Because the owl comes out at night to go hunting when you're sleeping. And it eats, of course, the mice and other creatures like that. So the government is just like in a hidden way taking your money, especially when you have a job and there's deductions from your salary. You know, you get your, what is it called? What's that form called? The S? W-2. W-2 form. When you get your W-2 form, you see how little money you're getting. And not only that, but the government also taxes through inflation. The money becomes worthless. It's interesting how you pronounce it, worthless or worthless. But it becomes worthless because they print up more money, or nowadays they create money simply electronically. Then you don't have to print it anymore. And there are invisible crickets that create unbearable sounds. The conditioned soul is certainly greatly harassed by the agents of material nature. But his intelligence is lost due to undesirable association. In an attempt to gain relief from the disturbances of material existence, he falls victim to so-called yogis, sadhus, and incarnations who can display some magic but do not understand devotional service. Of course, that's very prominent nowadays. They even have this one yoga, and I'm not going to mention the name, I remember the name, where they turn up the temperature at 105 degrees. And then they execute the yoga, and everyone's somehow or other, I mean, they're all getting sick or whatever. And somehow or other, they're thinking of becoming free from the material clutches. Sometimes the conditioned soul is bereft of all money, and consequently, he becomes unkind to his family members. In this material world, there's not a pinch of actual happiness for which the conditioned soul is longing life after life. The government officials are like carnivorous rakshasas, who exact heavy taxes for the maintenance of the government. The hard-working conditioned soul is very saddened due to these heavy taxes. The path of fruitive activities leads to difficult mountains, and sometimes the conditioned soul wants to cross these mountains, but he is never successful and consequently becomes more and more aggrieved and disappointed. Becoming materially and financially embarrassed, the conditioned soul unnecessarily chastises his family. In the material condition, there are four principal needs, out of which sleep is compared to a python. When asleep, the conditioned soul forgets his real existence, and in sleep, he does not feel the tribulations of material life. Sometimes, being in need of money, the conditioned soul steals and cheats, although he may apparently be associated with devotees for spiritual advancement. His only business is getting out of the clutches of Maya, but due to improper guidance, he becomes more and more entangled in material dealings. This material world is simply an embarrassment, and it's composed of tribulations presented as happiness, distress, attachment, enmity, and envy. On the whole, it is simply full of tribulations and misery. When a person loses his intelligence due to attachment to wife and sex, his entire consciousness becomes polluted. He thus only thinks of the association of women. The time factor, which is like a serpent, takes away everyone's life, including that of Lord Brahma and the insignificant ant. Sometimes, the conditioned soul tries to save himself from inexorable time, and thus takes shelter of some bogus savior. Unfortunately, the bogus savior cannot even save himself. How then can he protect others? The bogus saviors do not care for bona fide knowledge received from qualified brahmanas and Vedic sources. Their only business is indulging in sex and recommending sexual freedom even for widows. Thus, they are like monkeys in the forest. Srila Shukadeva Goswami thus explains the material forest and its difficult path to Maharaj Pariksit. So we'll read the first verse. Actually, it's quite a long verse. I mean, all we're going to do is reading to them. That's right. It's Prabhupada's verse. So text one. So I'll just read this verse and then... Wow, so many word-by-word synonyms and the purport is extremely... Anyway, we'll just continue. Asahuvacha sa esha dehatma maninam sattvari guna vishesha vikalpita kushala kushala samavahara vinirmita vivida dehava libir viyoga samyogadhi anadi samsaranu bhavasya dwarabhutena sarindriya vargena tasmin durgadva vad asugame advane apatita ishvarasya bhagavato vishnur vasha vartinya maya jivloko yam yatavanik sarto taparaha swadeha nishpadita karmanubhava shmasashanavad asishvata mayam samsaravtavyam gato nadyapi vipala bahu pratiyoge hastat atap ho pashyamanim hari guru charanar vinda marukaranu paravim avarunde. Long verse. See how much time. Yeah, we have time. So please repeat. Saha. The self-realized devotee, Shri Shukadev Goswami.
The self-realized devotee, Shri Shukadev Goswami.
Ha.
Ha.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Uvacha.
Spoke.
Saha.
Saha.
He, the conditioned soul.
He, the conditioned soul.
Eshaha. This one. Deha Admamanadam. Of those who foolishly take the body to be the self. Sattva-adi.
Of
Sattva, Raja, and Tamaha.
Gunaha.
By the modes. Vishesha.
Particular.
Vikalpita,
falsely
constituted.
Kushala,
sometimes by favorable actions. Akushala,
sometimes by very unfavorable actions.
Samavahara,
by a mixture of both.
Vinirmita,
obtained.
Vivida,
various types.
Deha avalibhihi,
by the series of bodies. Vyoga sama samyoga adi.
Symptomized by giving up one type of body, Vyoga. And accepting another, Song Yoga.
Anadi samsara anubhavasya.
Of the perception of the beginningless process of transmigration.
Dwarabhutena.
Existing as the doorways.
Sat Indriya Vargena.
By these six senses. The mind and five knowledge acquiring senses. Namely the eyes, ears, tongue, nose, and skin.
Tasmin.
On that.
Durga Advavat.
Like a path that is very difficult to traverse.
Asugame.
Being difficult to pass through.
Advani.
On a path in the forest.
Apatitaha.
Happened.
Ishvarasya.
Of the controller.
Bhagavataha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Vishnu.
Of Lord Vishnu.
Vashavartinya.
Acting under the control.
Mayaya.
By the material energy.
Jivaloka.
The conditioned living entity.
I am
this.
Yata.
Exactly like.
Vanik.
A merchant.
Saartaha.
Having an object.
Artaparaha.
Who is very attached to money.
Swadeha Nishpadita.
Performed by his own body.
Karma.
The fruits of activities.
Anubhavaha.
Who experiences.
Smashana vat ashivata mayam.
Like an inauspicious cemetery or place of burial.
Samsara
attavyam. In the forest of material life.
Gataha.
Having entered.
Not.
Ajapi.
Until now.
Vipala.
Unsuccessful.
Bahu
Pratyoga.
Full of great difficulties and varieties of material conditions.
Iha.
Whose activities here in this material world?
Tatapa
upashamanim.
Which pacifies the miseries of the forest of material life.
Hari Guru Charana Aravinda.
To the lotus feet of the Lord and his devotee.
Madhukara Anuparavim.
The road followed in pursuance of devotees who were attached like bumblebees.
Avarunde.
Gain.
It's a translation. It's a long translation. We won't do the translation repetitively, but just do it once.
When King Parikshit asked Shukadeva Goswami about the direct meaning of the material forest,
Shukadeva Goswami replied as follows. My dear King, a man belonging to the mercantile community, Vanik, is always interested in earning money. Sometimes he enters the forest to acquire some cheap commodities like wood and earth,
and sell them in the city at good prices. Similarly, the conditioned soul, being greedy, enters this material world for some material profit. Gradually, he enters the deepest part of the forest, not really knowing how to get out. Having entered the material world, the pure soul becomes conditioned by the material atmosphere, which is created by the external energy under the control of Lord Vishnu. Thus, the living entity comes under the control of the external energy, Daivi Maya. Living independently and bewildered in the forest, he does not attain the association of devotees who are always engaged in the service of the Lord. Once in the bodily conception, he gets different types of bodies, one after the other, under the influence of material energy and impelled by the modes of material nature, sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamogun. In this way, the conditioned soul goes sometimes to the heavenly planets, sometimes to the earthly planets, and sometimes to the lower planets and lower species. Thus, he suffers continuously due to different types of bodies. These sufferings and pains are sometimes mixed. Sometimes they are very severe, and sometimes they are not. These bodily conditions are acquired due to the conditioned soul's mental speculation. He uses his mind and five senses to acquire knowledge, and these bring about the different bodies in different conditions. Using the senses under the control of the external energy Maya, the living entity suffers the material conditions of material existence. He is actually searching for relief, but he is generally baffled, although sometimes he is relieved after great difficulty. Struggling for existence in this way, he cannot get the shelter of pure devotees who are like bumblebees engaged in loving service at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The most important information in this verse is Hari Guru Chalana Aravinda Madhukara Anupadavim. In this material world, the conditioned souls are baffled by their activities, and sometimes they are relieved after great difficulty. On the whole, the conditioned soul is never happy. He simply struggles for existence. Actually, his only business is to accept the spiritual master, the Guru, and through him he must accept the lotus feet of the Lord. This is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru Krishna Prasadipai, Mukti Lata Bij. People struggling for existence in the forests or cities of the material world are not actually enjoying life. They are simply suffering different pains and pleasures, generally pains that are always inauspicious. They try to gain release from these pains, but they cannot due to ignorance. For them, it is stated in the Vedas, Tad viganartham sagurum aveye. When the living entity is lost in the forest of the material world in the struggle for existence, his first business is to find a bona fide guru who is always engaged in the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. After all, if he is at all eager to be relieved of the struggle for existence, he must find a bona fide guru and take instructions at his lotus feet. In this way, he can get out of the struggle. Since the material world is compared herein to a forest, it may be argued that in Kali Yuga, modern civilization is mainly situated in the cities. A great city, however, is like a great forest. Actually, city life is more dangerous than life in the forest. If one enters an unknown city without friend or shelter, living in that city is more difficult than living in a forest. There are many big cities all over the surface of the globe, and wherever one looks, he sees the struggle for existence going on 24 hours a day. People rush about in cars going 70 and 80 miles an hour, constantly coming and going, and this sets the scene of the great struggle for existence. One has to rise early in the morning and travel in that car at breakneck speed. There's always the danger of an accident, and one has to take great care. In his automobile, the living entity is full of anxieties, and his struggle is not at all auspicious. Apart from human beings, other species like cats and dogs are also struggling very hard day and night for existence. Thus, the struggle for existence continues. And while the conditioned soul changes from one position to another, for a while he is the child, but he has to become a boy. From a boy, he has to change into a youth, and from youth to manhood and old age. Finally, when the body is no longer workable, he has to accept a new body in a different species. Giving up the body is called death, and accepting another body is called birth. The human form is an opportunity to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master and through him the Supreme Lord. This Krishna consciousness movement has been started to give an opportunity to all the members of human society who are misled by foolish leaders. No one can get out of the struggle for existence, which is full of miseries, without accepting a pure devotee of the Lord. The material attempt changes from one position to another, and no one actually gains relief from the struggle for existence. The only resort is the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, through him the lotus feet of the Lord. So Om Ganat Simadandasya Ganam Janash Shlakaya Chakshur Un Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So there's many different topics we can talk about here. One of the topics I wanted to talk about was how one actually allows himself to be cheated. Just like we talked about, the material world is the cheaters and the cheated. So we allow ourselves to be controlled by others. We give up our independence because of our attachment to our senses. When one is actually serving his senses, it actually puts you in a position where you can be manipulated by others. And I'm going to tell a story to illustrate this point from one of my favorite books, the Ramayana. So, once upon a time, and some of you know the story, but I'll elaborate on it. Once upon a time, King Dasarath, who was very powerful, but he had basically one fault. He was attached to Kaikeyi. And actually in the Ramayana it said, even Lord Ram says, you know, the old man who's controlled, who's attached to Kaikeyi, or controlled by his senses, or controlled by his wife, or attached to sex. You know, even Lord Ram refers to him like that. If you read the Valmiki Ramayana, he refers to his father. And when he's telling Lakshmi, he said, Lakshmi, go home and take care of the old man who's attached to sex. So, which is interesting. You know, that's how he refers to his father. I mean, with great respect, of course. But he's being honest about the whole thing. So what happens is that Dasarath, he's very interested in enthroning Ram. Because basically he cannot live without Ram, and he just wants, anyway, he wants Ram to take over the kingdom. So he makes the arrangement for enthroning Ram, and all the citizens are completely in ecstasy. Ram, tomorrow, says Ram, is going to be appointed as the Yuvaraj and be the next king, basically. This is like the step before someone is actually coronated as the king. So anyway, so everyone's happy, and even Kaikeyi, she's very happy, and then along comes this Manthura. And she says, what are you so happy about? She says, my Ram is going to be enthroned. And of course, Ram was actually as affectionate, or even more affectionate to Kaikeyi than he was to his actual mother, Kausalya. I mean, Ram just didn't distinguish whether someone was his blood relationship or someone was not his blood relationship. Because this theme you find continually in the Ramayana, how Ram is dealing with everyone equally. As Krishna says in the Gita, Nami dveshos dinapriyaha samaham sarvabhuteshu. He says, I'm equal to everyone. So Ram doesn't treat even his wife specially. When it comes time for the good of the kingdom, he actually sends his wife away. It's amazing. So anyway, so she's so happy that Ram is going to be enthroned, and Manthura says, don't you understand what's going to happen? You know, so Manthura represents, of course, Manthura is a real person, but, you know, let's say in a metaphorical sense, she represents the mind. You understand? So the mind is preaching to you, to her. The mantra is the mind. The mantra is preaching to Kaikeyi. Don't you understand what's going to happen? You know, this is anxiety about what's going to happen. You're going to be relegated to becoming a slave. And,
you know, Kaushalya will be elevated, she'll be treated nicely, you'll be Kaushalya's slave. And implicit in this whole discussion is that there was a little bit of, like, let's say, competition between the wives. Isn't it? Rivalry, competition, rivalry. I mean, I think that's natural because you, the word for co-wife is sapatni, and also sapatna means like with one's enemy too. So obviously, you know, if you have three ladies and one husband, there's going to be a little competition. I mean, even between like children, there's competition for the parents' affection, isn't it? And so that, you know, if you have three wives, four wives, or like Chitraketu, 10 million wives, there's a little bit of competition. And it gets intense sometimes. What? Who? Dasara? Oh, no, he had actually three wives, but he had concubines. You know, there were a lot of other ladies hanging around. Anyway, so he had three wives. So this, the mind was preaching, the mind, which is mantra. See? Mantra. Mana. You understand? You understand how the words are used, the mind. So mantra was preaching to Kaikeyi. Don't you understand what's going to happen? Oh, your life is finished, you foolish lady. So she started, it's like the mind obsesses on things so many times. Isn't it? It has an automatic feedback mechanism. He said, yes. He's like obsessive compulsive behavior. Yes, it's going to be like that. What if this happens? No. Oh, no. And you get in complete anxiety. We experience this so many times. Like, what if there's more to do working? Oh, no. What are we going to do? Anyway, so, mantra of the mind started to preach to Kaikeyi. And Kaikeyi eventually succumbed to her allurement. And then she said, but how am I going to convince Dasarath to enthrone my son instead, you know, Bharat, instead of Ram, and exile Ram? And the mind provided a very nice solution. She said, look, when you were driving the chariot of Dasarath, there was a battle, and she was a Kshatriya lady. Kshatriya ladies also know how to drive. What do they say? Woman drivers. So, Kshatriya, when she was driving the chariot of Dasarath, there one time he was fighting on behalf of the demigods, and he got severely injured, and she saved his life, brought him back to the battlefield, and eventually he won. So, he offered her these boons, that whatever you want, you can have. And she said, well, I'll save them for the future. And that's the most dangerous thing, when someone saves their boons for the future. You should say, take it now or you lose it in 5 minutes from now. These would be time-bound boons. And then also when Kaikeyi got married, her father, very interesting story about Kaikeyi, her father actually insisted that her child would become the next king. And also, Kaikeyi's mother was sent away by her father. You know this? Because she was a real rascal. And Kaikeyi took after her mother. Isn't it? She was actually demoniac, and the father just like kicked her out of the house, or out of the castle, so to speak, and banished her. Yeah, there's a whole story. I'm not going to get into that. She criticized him. There's a whole story about how he was a very exalted soul and she was just like a dodo. And so, Guru said, get rid of your wife. So, we don't do that nowadays. So, because like Chanaka Pandit says, you come between a man and his wife or between a man and a woman, you become the enemy of both. So, you know, once things happen, I just stand back and let it happen. So, anyways, it has a momentum of its own. So, getting back to the point. So therefore, Kaikeyi became extremely envious, and in order to really get Dasarath to cement his promised to her. She went into the anger room in the palace. And in the anger room, I guess it was like a padded room where you could just like bang your head on the floor or the walls or something. But it's also described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita about Satyabhama. She went into an anger room too. So the queens would generally have a room where they could just get angry. Or depressed room. Where they can get depressed. Nowadays people get depressed in all the rooms, so. The lady should have one room for depression, not the whole house. So she went into the anger room, or the depression room. And Dasarath, after he decided to enthrone Ram, was very happy, and he wanted to engage in loving exchanges. You know, remember, he's an old man. He's not just like some young teenager. Was it yesterday? Oh yeah, yesterday I walked to Hillsboro, and all these teenagers were engaging in Rasalila or something. Engaging, you know, they were embracing it. Even in the street, in the front of the cafe, I was just thinking it'd be a Jamil story. So, but Dasarath is an old man, you know. It's one thing to see a teenager embracing his beloved, but it's another thing to see someone who's like really old and gray, acting like a boy at the prom or something like that. Nowadays if you have a prom, you have two. In the newspaper was like the best prom couple, and it showed two boys going to the prom. Did someone see that? It's actually quite interesting. But anyway, that's a side note. So she was crying, and he wanted just to enjoy conjugal love with her. And he was disappointed because she was crying, and he was able to be manipulated by that crying. And he said, oh, please stop crying. I'll do anything you want. Stop crying. And she said, yes. Will you do anything I want? And he said, yes. And she goes, ooh, okay. And then, she came out of her stupor, her crying, her imitation crying, he asked, what do you want? And she said, you know, banish Ram to the forest, the Dandaka forest for 14 years, and enthrone my son. And he, at that point, he became such a slave that he was, of course, crying, almost unconscious, but he started to touch her feet. You know, he was touching her feet and begging her, I'll do anything for you, touch your feet, and massage your feet. So one's a slave. The point I'm making is that when one becomes a slave, nunam pramata kurute vikarma, yad indriya priti aprinoti, as Lord Rishabhadeva states, that when one becomes a slave of the senses, one commits vikarma. And he did something that was horrendous. He banished Lord Ram to the forest. And not only that, the banishment had to take place that very same day, she was demanding. Not that he had one day to rest in the palace before he went to the forest. Before the sunset, Lord Ram had to leave. Can you imagine the cruelty that he had to impose upon his son because of attachment to his senses? It's really it. Attachment to the senses. Of course, there's the idea of keeping your promise and everything like that. But actually, when you're talking about Dharma, there's higher principles and lower principles. Because you can neglect the truth for a higher principle sometimes. I mean, the example I give sometimes is when, let's say you're in your ashram, and some people are running away from the Nazis. You know, like during World War II, a lot of the good Germans, they gave shelter to the Jews. There's many stories like that. And so the Nazis come to the door and they say, is this Jew in your house? And at that point, you have to lie. The higher principle is to lie. But there are always these higher, like Dharma is very difficult to understand. As described in the Mahabharata, Tarko Pratishta Shutinada Bina. The only way you can understand Dharma is Mahajanayana Gatasapanka. So Dasarath, the point I'm making in relationship to this verse is Dasarath was controlled by his senses and therefore able to be manipulated by others. And when you can become free from controlling your senses, of course that's called Goswami, controller of the senses, or Swami, then people cannot manipulate you anymore. You can just stick your tongue out at them. And that's a lot of fun. Someone tries to bewilder you or bully you, go, mm. But the reason you're able to be controlled is because you're attached to your senses. Remember that. It's not their fault. Don't blame them. It's your fault because you're attached to your senses. If you can control your mind, it's not a problem. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.